We're starting with Tu Bishvat. What is Tu Bishvat? So the Makor in the Gemara for Tu Bishvat is the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. It says, Arba Rosh Sheishanim Hem. There are four Rosh Hashanim. Bechad B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah Malachim. The first of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Malachim. Right? So we're not going to explain all of these. Ula Regalim. And for Regalim, the Regalim start with Nisan. You have first Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkos. Bechad be'el Rosh Hashanah l'maisa behema, Riezer, Rishimen omrim, Bechad be'tishri. Okay, now this is the one we want. Bechad be'tishri Rosh Hashanah l'shanim is the Rosh Hashanah of years, of Shmitim, ule yovelot, and of the Yovel year. Okay, we'll skip a little bit. Bechad be'shvat, this is the one we want, is Rosh Hashanah l'ilan. This is the first. This is the new year for the tree. Kedivrei Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Amrim, Beis Hillel say, b'chamisha asaba. On the 15th of Shvat is Rosh Hashanah for the tree. So it's machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Shmuel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Yeah, sorry. You know I say Beis Shmuel because the Shem Mishmuel comes to explain what this machlokas is. What the shorish of this machlokas is. So he comes to explain. He says that a year has 12 months. A third of the year is 4 months. So a third, if we look at the head of the year, is like a man's head, and there's the end of the year, which is a man's like legs. A third of a person, right, is his heart. Right? So, Tu Bishvat, right, represents the third of the year. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, represents the beginning of the year, the head. A third of the year passed through, we're at the lave of the year, the heart of the year. You with me? Everyone's clear about that? Explains the Shem Mishmon, he says, it's based on a run. The run says, why is it that by vegetables we go by Rosh Hashanah? Right? We don't go by Tu Bishvat. By trees, we go by Tu Bishvat. So says the run, all the rain, i.e. next year, right, the year is counted from Tu Bishvat. Whatever blossoms, I mean, it's a machlokas, whatever blossoms or comes to what's it called, onus hamaisrot, a certain level of development after Tu Bishvat, that year, right, that the year is after that. You understand what I'm saying? Whoever came to that before Tu Bishvat, the year is before Tu Bishvat. I.e., so if I have, yeah, you with me? Okay. So it means, why is that, says the Ran? It says, by Tu Bishvat, most of the rains have come. We have most of the rains. The majority of the rains of the year. And how a tree grows? Tree grows from the rain, but it produces sap. And that sap produces the fruit. So it means, the tree also already reached its potential. Since the tree already reached its potential for giving fruit, and it just blossoms, right? So it means whatever happened this year has already happened by Tu Bishvat, if it's already blossomed. Yeah? So it's the next year. You with me? Okay. So now, both these concepts go together. So, says the Shem Mishmuel, what's the concept of lave? The concept of Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year, right? That's why in Rosh Hashanah, everything we do has a tremendous effect. Tu Bishvat is a concept of lave. Lave is where we live. Lave, what are we speaking about? Lave means where our feelings. We live at the place of our feelings, right? Ayet Zahara, Ayet Zatov, where are they? Not in our minds. They're on the right and left side of our lave. The lave is where we live, right?
Which one is?
The Ayet Zahara is on the left. The Ayet Zatov is on the right side of the heart, right? Ra is always associated with din. Goodness is always associated with chesed, right? If you understand a little bit, God's presence, just explain this concept so you understand it. God's presence is a concept of complete and givingness, complete goodness, complete chesed. More than the middle of chesed, complete goodness, even without any reason for that goodness, right? God gives to us afapi she'enu kedai, that's Lashon HaGemar, even though he's not fitting for that goodness, right? A person does a sin, right? In the middle of the sin, God gives him the koach to do the sin. Someone spits in his face, and he gives him the strength to spit in his face. That's a tremendous amount of chesed. That's a chesed we can't even understand. Okay? That's God's loving kindness. It's more than chesed. It's a higher level. It's what's called keter. It's called the crown. It's a complete giving. Okay. The term Dvara speaks about it. I'm not speaking about that. When we created the world, the creation of the world means to create a void. In order to create a void, right, that means we're creating a boundary for which the world can be in. So the removal of God's goodness in order to create a world that's somewhat, not completely void, somewhat void of that goodness. We're boundering God's goodness. That's a concept of din. So therefore, din always represents ra in the world, because it's a boundary of God's goodness. You understand? So therefore, din can be good as well. There's din of Kedusha, there's Yitzchak. But din, generally speaking, right, always is represents a concept of ra, right? I.e. when something bad happens to you, there's an onish, there's a punishment. So it's true that it's bad, from our point of view it's bad, but if a person understands din, the shorish of all din is underneath that din is also God's goodness. So, but din, from a simple point of view, represents ra, represents that which is bad. So the Yetzirah is on the left-hand side, which represents the side of din, and the Yetzirah Tov is on the right-hand side, which represents the concept of chesed. Right? Clear? Okay. Our hearts, right, are actually on our left side, right? Our right hand means chesed. Our left hand means din, gvura, right? Our hearts on our left side. If our heart has a Yetzirah and Yetzirah Tov there, right, but it's on our left side, so it's more on the side of din. Right? Why is that? So, the simple understanding is the heart by nature, right? Feelings by nature are more quickly for a person to go after his desires and after his more basic elements. Even though the heart isn't the lower part of the body, it's the higher part of the body, right? Or it's the middle of the body, right? Right? And it's even, to an extent, towards the head more than it is towards the feet and the lower and the loins, right? Right? But even still, it's on the left side. It's on the left side because... Okay, let me explain why it's higher up. It's higher up because it's closer to our thinking. Our thinking what influences our heart, right? Not our loins influence our heart, our thinking. It's on the left side because it's easier for us to do that which is wrong than to do that which is right. It's more by nature. The thing which puts our heart into being the right heart, i.e. the Yetzer Tov, the expression of Yetzer Tov, is our heads. Right? Our heads are equally balanced. Our heads have both right and left. And our heads are equally balanced. In our heads, we have, that's like, in our heads is an equal challenge. When a person wants to do something wrong, he has an equal, in terms of thinking, it's an equal balance. The thing which changes that balance is his feelings. Is his heart. Is the Yetzirah, which is down here. His feelings. If a person wasn't a feeling person, like Adam HaRishon before the Chet, it would be an intellectual thing to do right and wrong. And most times he would be with, if it's something intellectual, since our head is higher above, right, it's closer to Shemaim, so to speak, a person would do the right thing. The reason we do the wrong thing is because of our hearts. Lo taturu acharei levavchem. You shouldn't go after your hearts, acharei neichem, your eyes, asher atem zonim achareihem. Right? Ha'inayim ro'im, the eyes see. The eyes only see because of the heart. Va'lev chomed, and the heart desires. If there was no heart, our eyes would see, and our brains would work out if it's good for us or if it's bad for us. Our eyes are equal. Right? They're equally balanced. Our heart's the one that brings our eyes to see in a certain way, in a distorted way. Free will, you ask if free will is an emotional concept. No. Free will is an intellectual concept, it's a decision, but it's influenced very much by emotions. And it's a very hard, in order to have free will, we could have free will in our minds, but it would be an easier free will. Like if I'm buying a car, right? Say, example. I have free will to buy this car or that car. Usually, given that the guy doesn't want like a nice sports car or something, he's a family man, wants a car that's functional and good, right? Nowadays, family men want sports cars that are functional and good. Okay, but generally speaking, a person, let's say an intellectual person is making a decision, right? He makes an equal decision. He makes a good decision. the mind can make an equal decision. When we start worrying about our decisions is when our heart gets involved. When the heart's involved, then our decisions can get blurred. That's why it says, even a wise man, if you give him a bribe, the bribe doesn't affect his thinking, but the bribe affects his heart, how he feels towards you. He feels somewhat good towards you. You did him a favor. Since he feels somewhat good towards you, that heart will change his thinking. So you're right. Free will would have been different had we not had our heart. But we do have free will, but the free will, there's a very, very big tendency to go after our desires, and it's very hard for us to have an intellectual free will. It takes a lot of work for man to have a free will of thinking and not to have a free will of desiring. But his brain is that which influences his heart. But that's the place where you have that war. It's in our feelings. Always in our feelings, a person is, that's where a person is. Do I like the person? Do I not like the person? Do I want to do this? Or do I not want to do this? It's always in our feelings. It's not an intellectual battle, because if it's an intellectual battle, you'd be thinking about it, you'd make the right decision probably. It's an emotional battle. Free will, because of the setup that we're talking about, is an emotional struggle. Clear? We want to make it an intellectual struggle, because then it becomes much more easy. But for most of us, it's an emotional battle. The place where we're battling is emotional. Clear? So you're asking that physically the heart has nothing to do with emotions. You're right. There's lots of things, it's just a concept. But why is the heart, the physical heart, associated with that concept? What does the heart do? It pumps blood around. So what's its function? It's giving oxygen and giving life to all the person. Without a heart, the heart is like, you know, the feeder of the whole system. When you get excited or aroused emotionally, your heart pumps more, doesn't it? Yeah, it pumps more, right? Okay. Why does a heart pump more? You get excited. You need more oxygen to because of your excitement, right? So the heart represents physically, right? When I'm involved emotionally in something, when I'm excited about something, I'm involved emotionally about something, my heart's pumping more. It gets excited, so to speak, physically does. So the heart's associated with emotions because it changes with my emotions. My mind doesn't change with my emotions. I mean, maybe now neurologists will say there's more chemicals of this and more chemicals of that, right? But my thinking doesn't change. It's my emotions that change. My heart changes. It doesn't. My mind isn't like, you know, overwork, or the change in my mind is, or it gets shut off and it just gets into pleasure mode, right? It's not in thinking mode when I'm having pleasure. You understand? The emotions expressed in the heart. That's the place where you see them mainly expressed. When I'm emotional, what starts with me? Maybe my hands start moving, right? But that's, you know what I'm saying? But it's usually the inner person, not the external person, the inner person, right? You'll see the change in the heart, right? And what's blood? What's, you know, the heart pumps blood. What's blood? We say that dam hu hanefesh. Dam hu hanefesh. The basic nefesh of a person is in his blood, right? The nefesh of a person is the lower part of a person, the lower soul of a person, right? The lower soul of a person is associated with sin. So the heart's the one that's pumping around, so to speak, this nefesh, this thing which contains the nefesh. So the heart is the seat of the nefesh. The heart is the place where sin or not sin, right? That's the nefesh. The animal part of us is in our heart. The blood in us, that which gives the animal part life, is in the heart. Right? So the heart represents the life part of the human being. The life animalistic part of the human being. That's the blood of the human being. You with me? So that's probably how it's related, you know, to the heart. That's it. Yeah? So now, we go back to Tishbav. So Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat represents the beginning of the expression of the lave. That means the year of lave. That means lave is, whenever I desire something, it's the potential for the expression of that. Enayim, see? But there's nothing really tangible about the Enayim, see. Lave Chomed, the heart desires, now it came to the world of reality, because that's where we live. But that potential of the year came into its reality. I.e. the fruit of the year came into their potential. They didn't come out yet, they just blossomed. But the fruit of the year came into their blossoming, came into their potential to express their reality, right? The final expression of the reality is going to be from Shavuos till Sukkos, which is Shavuos is when the first fruit come out, and Sukkos, which is the end of the year, is what? When we harvest all our fruit, by all the fruit have come out by the end of the year, right? Clear? So that means the cycle of the year is, right, the beginning of the year, the head of the year, then there's Tu Bishvat, then the Shavuos, which is the beginning, and it's finishing on Sukkos, right? What does Shavuos represent? Shavuos represents, right, it's the time where we're nidon on Peres HaIlon. The first fruit come out. The first fruit come out, and we're judged on Peres HaIlon. And we're judged on the first fruit. Okay, let me explain. So now, according to this, let's go back. We did explain the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai represents Din. His Talmud was Eliezer, right? Eliezer, Beis Shammai, Machlokas Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Gros says Beis Shammai is Din, Beis Hillel is Chesed. Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishri, is the first day of, is Yom HaDin. Sukkos is Yom HaRishon, yeah? The first day, Chazal tell us, of our expression. Expression usually represents Chesed, also if anyone understands the Chag of Sukkos is the time of Chesed. That's 2 Tesvav Tishri, 15th of Tishri. If we take 15, so, if we take 4 months from Tishri, we get Shvat. So if we go by Yom HaDin, which is Beis Shammai, right? That's a concept of Shammai is Din, we get the first of Shvat. If we go from the middle of Shvat, right, to Bishvat, right, the Sukkos, which is time of Chesed, we get Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, the concept of when the year begins, is the year of Din or the year of Chesed, the year of potential or the year of expression, that's how we learn what Tu Bishvat is, yeah? Boy, when's the Tu Bishvat is? It's the same machlokas. That's how the Shem Shmuel explains. Okay, now let's go back. On Shavuot, which is the Bikurim, when the fruits of that year come out, it's the time we judge Peres HaIlon. We judge the fruit of the year. Right? If we judge the fruit of the year on Shavuot, what does that mean? What does the fruit mean? So Chazal tell us, Adam who ate Sasada, a man is like a fruit tree. His fruit represents his actions. Eile told us Noach, these are generations of Noach, Noach, his Maisim Tovim, his good word. On Shavuot, we're judged on our actions. Till Sukkos, that's the first fruit. The first fruit of actions, the beginning of the judgment of our actions, that our actions come into fruition, is by Shavuot. In complete fruition, the first fruit come out. Why is that the first fruit represent? The first fruit we explained before, why Shavuot, Matan Torah against the first fruit? Because the first fruit were those fruit that we bring first fruit from, which are the 7 species of Eretz Yisrael, those, according to the Chazal, were the fruit in which Adam HaRishon sinned with. The bringing of the first fruit is Hanafa, is waving. We wave those fruit upwards to connect them with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? Matan Torah is to bring the physical and connect it with the spiritual. That's what Matan Torah does. Without Matan Torah, we cannot connect. Without Torah, we can't connect the spiritual world to the physical. That's what Torah enables us to do, Mekadesh the physical. So that's the place where we take those fruit, we represent the physical world, and we bring them up to the spiritual. That's the fixing. Because Adam HaRishon, what was his sin? The woman saw, his wife saw the fruit. V'nechmad le'enayim. They were nice to the seeing, right? The taivahu, right? And it was a taivahu, it was a desirable, right? That was the heart, the eyes and the heart. That's what needs to be fixed. The desire for the fruit that she had, the physical desire on her level, right? The physical desire on her level, that has to be changed to Kedusha. That's what Torah does. Torah brings the physical and connects it to Kedusha. Tu Bishvat is the beginning of that potential being expressed. The lave of that year being expressed. The maisa of that year, the action of the year, is on Shavuos. But Tu Bishvat represents we're judged on our lave. We're judged on how much of that year we brought to potential. So it's a mini judgment of Shavuot. So Tu Bishvat is connected to Shavuot. You understand? It's the potential which is going to be expressed, the beginning of the expression, the Bikurim of Shavuot. And Shavuot is the fixing of man. Shavuot is the fixing of man's chet, the fixing of his lave, that his lave gets connected to his mind, to the Torah. Torah is connecting our mind to our lave. Torah, that our lave is not a lave of desires, it's a lave of our thinking. That's what Torah does. Tu Bishvat is a lave. How much is that potential connected? Is it bringing? How much of those fruit are going to be Bikurim on Torah? How much of those fruit are going to be the fruit which are going to be lifted to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much are we in sync with what we originally started in Rosh Hashanah with regards to our lave? Rosh Hashanah is the head. Tu Bishvat is the heart. Shavuos is the beginning of our Maisim. Understand?
But it's working back.
So you're asking, how does a man, for man, the Chedra generation is only a thinking person. A woman is more the lave of a man. Like we explained with tefillin, there's only one concept of tefillin, there's tefillin of head. A man's tefillin is on his head. That's the only head. That's a woman's tefillin, right? There's only the head of, the hand tefillin is really the head tefillin of a woman. Right? That's connected to the lave of a man. So that's why Tu Bishvat is the hand tefillin, it's the lave of the year. And Shavuos is like, so to speak, the head. So that's the head that we get.
So we're putting orange film on all of it.
A man, when he gets married, how does he relate to his wife? He has long intellectual conversations, or she wants him to emotionally connect with her? Her head is his heart. He connects with her emotionally. Oh. She needs that emotional connection from his heart to her head. That's the way he connects. There are different types of marriage. I'm talking about a certain type of marriage. There's a marriage where a woman, I'm talking about a woman who's on the level of her husband's heart. There's a woman who's the level of her husband's head. And ultimately a marriage will be that a woman will be on the level of the head of the husband. You have to understand what I mean by this. That means that they will be such a good marriage that they'll be connecting head, heart, and body. And obviously spiritually. Spiritually is without talking, but they'll be connected all through. The same way with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael and the Golos were collected, Kivyachol, were collecting to the lower part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we come to Geula, then we connect to the heart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then eventually, B'ezrat Hashem, we connect to the head, Kivyachol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would completely connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Marriage is the same thing, because the connection of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same as the connection of a husband to a wife. So there's different levels. There's a lower level marriage, a better marriage, and the best marriage. The best marriage is when you connect to your wife in all four levels: spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, and physically. Clear? And the same concept in Geula and Golus. And obviously, spiritually, there's different levels of spirituality, different levels, and all these things, there's different levels. Right, and that's related to the four levels, the four names of Kodesh Baruch Hu, right?
The four permutations of the Yud Kei Vav.
Yeah, yeah, four names of Kodesh Baruch Hu. You understand? These are all related. Or there's five parts of it. Whatever. I'm not going to go into this now. You have to understand. The highest level of relating to your wife is in you and her one, in your rots and your higher rots and your higher desire, which is to be one with your Creator. That's what it means. And the Apostle says, "New basar echad," became one flesh. One flesh in terms of your rotzen to connect to your Creator. And therefore, to connect to each other in a very, very deep way. Okay? Therefore, there's a minig on Tu Bishvat to pray for the fruit to come out nicely. I mean, since there's a potential of the fruit, this is the potential of our actions, we want those actions to bring out good fruit, to bring out good maisim. So we're asking for good fruit means we're asking for our actions to come out a proper way. Everyone has a potential of doing good, right? Rain is a good thing, but if it comes out at the wrong time, it's bad. So even in our actions, if we have good things about ourselves, we've developed good things about ourselves this year, we want those actions to come out in a fruitious way, in a proper and a give it proper way. So that's the tefillah we have, and that's why people eat lots of fruit on Tu Bishvat and pray that the fruit and the sustenance of the year, the physical sustenance of the year, but it's also the spiritual sustenance of the year, that our actions come out in a fruitious and proper way, just as the fruit come out in a proper and fruitious way. Clear? So there's a concept, Chazal tell us, of Orla Salev. We have an Orla, we have, right? An Orla Velev. There's also a concept of Peres Orla. Fruit have an Orla. They have 3 years of Atima, of closing, right?
Orla
is the first 3 years of a fruit. They're forbidden for us to eat. It's called Orla. Orla literally means closed. There's also, we have an Orla, the Bris Mila, you have an Orla. You have, your Bris is closed, right? The Pasuk in Chumash says, right, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will mal et Orlat Levavchem, the Orla, the closingness of your heart. There's a closeness of a heart. Torah is the thing which opens our heart. Torah is the thing which removes Orla Salev. So Shavuos is the tikkun of Orla Salev. Just as, right, in a certain sense, when the year passed, Tu Bishvat passed, the day, so 1 year is past of the year of Orla. Another year is past of the year of Orla. So in a certain sense, Tu Bishvat is the counting of the years of Orla, right? But the passing of Tu Bishvat removes part of that Orla, because it's removing that in time, it's removing those 3 years, right? So it's the Orlas Halev, the beginning of the Avodah of Orlas Halev, is in Tu Bishvat. The completion is Matan Torah. That means the Avodah, the place of the Avodah is obviously Belev. When there's complete Kabbalah of Torah, then the Orla is removed. And that's why Shavuos represents the head. You know, the head, receiving of the head, receiving the Torah. Right? Because when a person's choice is in his head, he's not going to do sin. When a person's choice is in the lev, that means he still has an Orla, he has an Atima. His lev, his heart's desires, is what's interfering with his head for thinking properly. So when we remove the Orla of his lev, right, then he only has a head. Then his head thinks clearly. Shavuos is when he only has a head. Tu Bishvat is when we have a lev, but that lev has to be removed. Now, we said we're going to explain what Tu Bishvat has to do with pastors. Az Yashir. Mm-hmm. So it says, Az Yashir. It says, Az Yashir. As, Rashi says, then we will sing. What do you mean, then we will sing? So it doesn't, now they're singing. So Rashi says, Rashi explains, yeah? Again, listen to the Lashon of Rashi. As, Kishara et hanes, when he saw the nes, either seeing of the nes, Allah belibo, then it went into his heart, Shia Shir Shir, they will sing a song, which is the sing the song of Shir Sayam, right? Kriyas Yamsuf, right? So we see there's a tikkun of the seeing is the nes, and the Shira, which is the lave. So Shiras Kriyas Yamsuf. Now what did Kriyas Yamsuf do to Klal Yisrael? If you don't Parsha Shavuot, Kriyas Yamsuf brought Klal Yisrael out of Shibud Mitzrayim. We were no longer Avdei Paro. We were no Paro was completely destroyed. The Ra was completely destroyed in the world. Shiras Yamsuf brought us to the level that we now were removed from the Ra of Paro. You with me? That's what, the 10 Makkas got rid of a lot. Brought Klal Yisrael to a level of Makkas Bechorus and Pesach and Dam Mila to a level of connection, minimum level of connection. But they still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was frightened to take them out of Egypt. They'll go back. And even when they saw Egypt, says, why are you kidding? What do you brought us to? Die in the Midbar? Take us back to Egypt. It was better there, right? Mm-hmm. You see, they were mitlonen the whole time. They're still arguing. They're still coming to Moshe. We don't have meat. We don't have food. We don't have thing, right? Even after he lost Mitzrayim, the problem is we went out of Mitzrayim too early. So there's still a remnant. Power was destroyed, but still inside the Jewish people, We have the Erev Rav. We have Paro with us. We have the Yetzara with us. So should be Issa Zu Yetzara. The Gro says that's the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav we still have with us, who caused all this Tlunot, all these complaints that Kodesh Baruch Hu brought the Klal Yisrael with them. That's the Yetzara. So even though Paro was destroyed, the Ran was destroyed, the Yetzara still was there. But Kriyas Yamsuf represents the destruction of the Ram. Destruction of the Ram, it's at the lev, and it's at the heart. It's at the eyes, and it's at the heart, the lev. Okay?
But it wasn't full fixing.
Wasn't full fixing, because the Erev Rav came out of Egypt. The Erev Rav was part of Egypt, it wasn't fixed. That we had to fix in our galus. That's the final galus, is to mevara the Erev Rav, to remove the Ra of the Erev Rav, and to leave Klal Yisrael intact. That's why the Erev Rav has dominion, and they, the ones who go to power and rule over Klal Yisrael will be the Erev Rav and the final Golas, and they'll rule, and they'll be the Ra of the Erev Rav, and the good of the Erev Rav will be Mitbarer to Klal Yisrael, and there'll be a small amount of Klal Yisrael, which will be the Solet Nikia, which will be that part which is clean and pure, and then will come the Geula. The Erev Rav had to come with us out of Egypt, because the point of Egypt was to take out all the Nitzotzei Kedusha, all that which was good in Egypt. That's the purpose of Golas, and bring it to fixing. It should have been fixed in Egypt. It wasn't fixed. So came the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude. Erev is Mu'urav, it's mixed. It's a mixture of good and bad. And because of that, Klal Yisrael became mixed with good and bad. And so that's why we have the Golas afterwards, all these Golas afterwards, to fix the Erev Rav within Klal Yisrael, to fix the Yetzirah which is within us. This always comes before Tu Bishvat. And Shul Bishvat is the time where we say Shir on the Peres, right? So you have to understand what Shir is. The same Rashi says, As Yashir, Remez L'Tchias HaMesim. Well, then we'll have Shir, then there'll be the completion. Tchias HaMesim, so this is only a hint to Tchias HaMesim. When does Tchias HaMesim come? That's Matan Torah. When we receive Torah, Klaus will receive the Torah on Har Sinai. Pascha Zumatash and Nachash was removed Mita from the world. And if anyone learns a Gemara on Shabbos, the purpose of Matan Torah was Tchias HaMesim. Matan Torah itself was Tchias HaMesim. That when we heard the Dibros from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when we heard the speech from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Pascha Nishmatam, our neshamas went from us, and we were put back into our guf. The angels put us back into the guf. That's a Gemara on Shabbos. It was Me'ein Tchias HaMesim. It was Tchias HaMesim. It was Tchias HaMesim. Matan Torah is Tchias HaMesim. That's why without Torah you can't get Tchias HaMesim. That's also a Gemara. Without Torah there's no Tchias HaMesim. Right? Because that's what it is. So, a hint of Tchias HaMesim, a hint of Torah, the hint of Tchias HaMesim, as Yashi, came on the Yam Suf. That's Tu Bishvat. That's the concept of Tu Bishvat. The hint of Matan Torah, the hint of the first fruit, is the potential of the fruit on Tu Bishvat. So the Shir we're saying on Tu Bishvat is me'ein the shira of Kiryas Yam Suf. Me'ein the shira, it's the bittle of the ra of the lev. We don't want any ra in our lev. We don't want any bad in those fruit. We want those fruit to be pure. So that then those fruit will come out to be bikurim that will bring up the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that fruition and connection, complete connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You understand? Also Torah is a shira. Then we will sing. Shir is when there's clarity. Shir, the same lashon of shir, shin yud resh, this comes from Yasha. The Gemara says shir means an eagle going around. When a person goes around, right? When you sing, what are you doing? You're going, saying the same nigun again and again and again, like a chant. You're saying, right? That removes you from the self. When you get removed from the self, you feel connected to something higher. That's Torah. Torah is that which connects you to something higher. Shir is the vehicle through which you connect to something higher. You remove yourself from the physical, connect to something higher. That's why all the Nevi'im, to get to the level of Nevuah, was through Shir, was through singing song. Because song is the removal of self to get to something higher. The removal of self means the removal of the Taivas HaLev, the desires of the Lev. That's why a person davens that he fills his stomach with Torah and not with food. Right? Torah doesn't go with taivas. That's why a person ain't divrei Torah mitkayim. The words of Torah don't aren't established. Ela misha meimis atzmo aleha. Someone who kills himself over it. He removes his desires. He kills his desires. Only then we are straight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're straight with Torah. We're connected. We're fully connected. You understand? That's the concept of Shir. That's why Torah is called a Shir. Torah is the Shir. The Shir which connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that Shir removes us from our desires. That's the purpose of Shir. As Yashir, then we will sing Ba'olam Habat, because we're removed from our physical body. We become our physical body becomes spiritual. As Yashir, then the Shir of Kriyas Yamsav is removed from the Yetzirah, which is represented in the Paro. The Yetzirah, the beginning, the destruction of the Yetzirah. We still have a bit of the Yetzirah with us. I told you the Erev Rav. It's not complete. It's only the potential. But there's a beginning of that potential which came. The potential of that potential. The lave of that potential, the Avodas HaLev, the beginning of the removing of the Orlas HaLev, starts here with Tu Bishvat and with Az Yashir. You understand? That's why Chazal, when they speak here, they speak about a birth. This is the beginning of a new birth. Just as a birth in Mitzrayim, there was a birth that creates Yam Suf. But it was a birth, right, that is a different form of birth. It was a birth that doesn't happen by itself. It needed help to happen. I.e., Klal Yisrael brought on that birth through their emunah of jumping into the yam, into the sea. So there was a shtatfus, there was some aspect of the emunah of Klal Yisrael here to bring on that birth, this new birth, which was different from the Esa Malkus, that wasn't done with any shtatfus of Klal Yisrael, with any emunah of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael had the Malkus, apart from Malkus Bechoros, right? But they had to take the Dama Pesach and Dama Mila, right? There was a beginning also of emunah, but all the other Malkus, there was no emunah in Klal Yisrael. They were separated. It was natural separation. The Nes was a natural separation of Klal Yisrael. When I say natural, by Nes it was separated, but it was not because of the Avodah of Klal Yisrael.